Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And wouldn't you know it, we have an actual live financial professional in our studio, certified financial professional, certified financial planner, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Ron, on a gorgeous summer day.
CFP, Certified Financial Planner.
You bet.
Is that
you
by
bet.
The state? Who certifies that?
It's not through the state. State licenses various insurance professionals, that sort of thing. CFP is through the College of Financial Planning. In Denver, it was in Denver. I don't know. Hey, I think it's still in Denver. I lose track. These people move around.
CFP.
So, the College for Financial Planning, a excellent organization.
Dennis is in every Thursday.
Yes, sir.
And talks about financial planning.
Yes.
Ins and outs of all aspects.
Yes.
Occasionally joined by Shay Pataja. Today, Shay is not in.
She is on the vacation. It is summer after all, is it not?
Vacation.
You bet.
Yes.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for listening. So today we're talking about paying off your mortgage early. Early.
Early.
Should I do this or not? Paying off your mortgage, my quote, is now one of the more valuable decisions you can make, paying off your mortgage, and especially if it's early. Especially if it's early. Because the tax laws have changed, interest rates are still relatively low. Now, I've compared this on a couple of ranges. First off, this obviously is a very emotional decision. Well, we've got credit card debt. We'll talk about that. We've got auto debt, that sort of thing. We're paying on those. How do we advance that sort of thing? Well, there's some great, I think, hard and fast rules. And just thinking personally, Jill and myself... By the way, we are going to be celebrating our 35th wedding anniversary. Where does the time go?
Does the time go?
Crazy. Crazy. Thank you.
25 years?
35.
35 years.
I know. See, I'm so young. It's impossible.
They're drowning us out now. 35 years.
Well, I was only 15, you know?
Wow. Congratulations. That is huge, though.
It is. We're really thankful.
There are a lot of financial advantages, I would think. Not to take the humanity out of it, but the financial advantages of staying intact, an intact marriage and family, is a better chance at financial freedom than not.
Yes.
But anyway, that's a great, though. I mean,
if you can count the cost, because the cost of otherwise is... significant in many ways. So paying off your mortgage is now one of the more valuable decisions you might make. Why? Just thinking about this in terms of $1,000 a month.
Okay.
Setting aside all the other. If we're drawing at an interest rate that we think is sustainable over our lifetimes, we want to keep this money relatively intact. What interest rate might that be? 2%, 3%, 4%. So if we're drawing based on an interest rate on a lump sum, what's it going to take to produce that $1,000 a month? This is where I like to start on this sort of thing. So what's the equivalent amount of money that we have to be able to draw from to give us that $1,000 per month?
The $1,000 a month you're just using as an example?
As a principal and interest payment on a mortgage.
Right.
Obviously, somebody might be at $1,500, $1,250, $2,000 a month, whatever that number might be.
Right.
But just using $1,000 a month as a relative benchmark equals $12,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Dividing that by 4% to arrive at a lump sum is equal to $300,000. So if we have a $300,000 lump sum and we're drawing at 4%, assuming
what's the, that, wait, what's the $300,000?
That's the lump sum we're drawing from. So assuming that we've saved this for our retirement, the $300,000.
Got it.
And assuming we still have the mortgage at retirement, you know, just looking at expenses versus income, which is the key, obviously, to figuring out, can we retire and make this work? So again, assuming we can draw 4%, if we're drawing 4% on $300,000, that is $1,000 a month.
Ah.
$1,000 per month, okay? If I thought this was interesting, Dennis, you hadn't figured this before. No, I just thought I wrote this down. 3% withdrawal rate. Assuming we're a bit more conservative, we don't like quite that. Well, Dennis, I mean, really, where are we going to earn 4? Right?
Right.
Some may say that. At 3%, we'd need $400,000 in lump sum to give us $1,000 a month. So always thinking, again, in terms of income versus expense. See, Ron is checking my numbers here.
No, I'm
so
just...
$400,000 at 3% equals, at a 3% withdrawal rate, equals $1,000 per month. Okay.
So you're saying if you have $400,000 in your retirement
account. In your retirement account.
And you're drawing 3%, you assume that's what you're going to calculate it.
Yes.
And you come to $1,000 a month. Then what does that mean? Does that mean, and your mortgage is also $1,000 a month.
That means that if your mortgage had been paid off in equivalent dollars, you have somewhere in the range of $300,000 to $400,000 equivalent lump sum. See? Just because you don't have that mortgage expense, that equivalent lump sum can be significant in how that moves you forward in retirement. Not having the $1,000 per month expense.
Okay.
Okay? So it's always in terms of what is it? What is my equivalent amount that I might need to give me that income, or what am I? What's the equivalent that it's worth given that I don't have that expense? All right. Then some others would say, well, you're going to need some more than that because if that's coming out of my IRA, that's all taxable, and then we go down that whole road, you know. So, excuse me, if I'm drawing at a 3% rate, I'm going to need more than that just to pay the tax on that withdrawal from the IRA. Let's not get into that, shall we? Let's just keep it relatively simple. Now, what was interesting, I thought, right now, Treasury bills are about 2% interest rate. That's a conservative rate. 2%. Who would have thought, you know? Mm-hmm. 2% interest is what you can draw from conservative money right now. Relatively conservative. Of course, you have to have $100,000 to buy a T-bill, but that's 2%. Now, at 2%, at a 2% withdrawal rate, I have to have how much, class, to get $1,000 a month?
Don't make me do this right now. I'm still in the conceptual stage.
Yes, $600,000. $600,000 at 2%, at a 2% withdrawal rate, will give me $1,000 a month.
All right.
Yeah, yep. So in terms of lump sum needed to give me that income that I just don't need if I paid off the mortgage, that's no longer an expense for us at $1,000 a month. Wow.
So you're saying if you paid off the mortgage, so you're no longer making that $1,000 a month payment. Therefore, the money you have, you're saying the money you have saved in your account, you don't have to withdraw from.
You don't have to withdraw from, and it gives you that equivalent jump ahead in terms of the lump sum that you otherwise would have had to save. So it's real money in your pocket, given that you've paid off that mortgage because you don't have that expense. And it's worth an equivalent lump sum in terms of today's rates. Wow, that's lifetime, Dennis. I get that. Now, what's interesting is I figured the approximate time it would take to pay off. Let's say, well, we don't owe that much on our mortgage. We owe $75,000. At 5%, and I figured this back at the office, and unfortunately didn't bring my calculator with me, it's about 9 years to pay that off. Okay. About 8 to 9 years, okay? The key to this, too, is generally you're going to want some more space at retirement. So some of this is about, obviously, looking ahead. if we don't want that expense at retirement because we're going to be traveling. We want to spend some more money at retirement because we want to enjoy what's going on.
Well, if one is in a position to pay off their $75,000 remaining on their mortgage, that mm-hmm. means they have $75,000 liquid, right? So
possibly.
They could pay off the mortgage.
Or they could say, you know, we're only 50. Given that we want to retire, let's say they're 55 and we want to retire at 62, how do we advance that payment so that it's paid off in 7 years? So I'm just saying the value of having paid that off versus the lump sum in your retirement account, it may be worth taking a look at both and saying, oh my gosh, if we have that freedom, a conversation yesterday with a couple, I've never had a couple say to me, we're sorry we paid off the mortgage early. It's often with much self-satisfaction. No, we don't have a mortgage at retirement.
Plus, if you make your monthly payments for your $75,000 you owe over the next 8 or 9 years, the mm-hmm. total amount you're paying out because of interest is much more than the actual amount that you owe on the house. Right? So if you pay it off early, don't you save money on interest?
Oh, you do.
Yeah,
so now, that's another part of the argument. Previously to the new tax law, most could itemize the interest on their mortgages. Now, that's pretty much gone unless you have a very high mortgage because the standard deduction for a couple now is now $24,000.
Yeah.
So most of us cannot deduct the interest on our mortgages anymore. So previously, where 4% was deductible and at a 25% bracket, we're only paying a net of 3, for instance. Well, now it's period 4. It's 4, period, rather. Dennis, keep your order properly. So 4%, that's what it's costing. Now, on the other side of that coin, well, you know, we've got some other issues going on, and let's talk about those. Credit card debt, auto loans. Do we want to save in the 401k? See, the picture can get clouded in some respects. And the other part of that, which no one discusses, is the value of, as Benjamin Franklin said, and I quote directly, I got the exact quote here. If a man empties his purse into his head, no man can take it from him. An investment in knowledge always pays the best interest. Of course, it depends on the knowledge, but still, over time, the value in your own education should be considered amongst other things. Because, as you know, I think you would agree, my gosh, if I'm continuing to educate myself, eventually I'm going to be compensated for it. And there is, again, the right education, there may be, in almost every respect, no better investment that you might make in your own continuing education for yourself, your career, your family, all the rest.
Yes. Okay. The information economy. When you learn and study, you have information that you are one of only a few people to possess, and you can charge others to benefit from that.
Yes.
Yes.
Sooner or later, you will be compensated for that.
Oh.
Sooner or later. All right.
So in paying off a mortgage, what are options, ways to do that? Can you say, all right, that is our goal. We're now going to pay 2 payments a month instead of 1. Or we're going to go and make lump sum payments whenever we have a few extra dollars.
All kinds of ways to do that. You may pick an amount based on, you know, you've got your cash set aside, 3 to 6 months of expenses. The credit cards, autos are all under control. You may decide you want to start to advance that by paying an extra $250 a month. It doesn't have to be a huge sum. And frankly, for us, often I lose track of that. Oh, yeah, we were making extra payments. That just happened on a piece of property that we owned for years. And all of a sudden, we're down near the end. Now, what's the wonderful thing about getting near the end is you'll begin to advance that on your own. I'll say, my gosh, that thing is irritating, given that I'm paying $500 a month and there's only $2,500 there. Let's get that thing
done.
We're
so close.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's a huge motivator.
Speaking of the housing market and mortgages, we have a call from Jim in Cedar for Dennis Prout on New Retirement Radio. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Ron, and Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Jim.
I'm going to serve up my high-hanging curveball and see if you can hit it out of the park. With respect to paying down an early mortgage, to get the money to pay it down, and given the significant appreciation in the stock market, what would be the wiser decision? Sell private investment stock and pay the capital gains, or increase your minimum deduction from a 401k and pay income tax?
Oh, so we're not paying off a mortgage here. What you're saying is,
we're paying off the mortgage, but to get the funds to pay it off, take it from private investment securities and pay capital gains by selling them, or increase your minimum required distribution from your 401k.
Ah, so increase the amount that you're taking from your 401k to pay off the mortgage early?
Yeah. Yes.
Ah, yeah, over time, generally you're going to pay less tax. Now, obviously, Jim, a part of this is what assets are you liquidating? If you've got a great company in your portfolio that's already done incredibly well in terms of a capital gain, I've doubled my money. If that's the case, then the tax owed on the gain is still capital gains tax. It's not as much as the taxable income from your 401k. But the income increase from the 401k, you can spread out over a period of years if you take it over time. So that would be a decision that would have to be made based on personal circumstance and the amount of appreciation. But I wouldn't call that a high curveball to hit out of the park. I would say, generally, I would say you want to pay that off over some more time to alleviate some of the income tax. But the other side of that, Jim, is income taxes haven't been this low in a very, very long time. A long time. Okay?
So it would make sense to take it from the 401k.
It may. Depending on the stock itself, the appreciation, and the tax owed. So the capital gains tax, you really need to take a look at that with your accountant. Mm-hmm. I would take a look at that. What is the actual cost of... is it $40,000? Is it $30,000? Because obviously the higher amount of your liquidation, the more tax you're going to pay given the asset that you liquidated, because it'll add to your overall tax. It's not just a flat percentage, Jim. That's a great question.
Well, I guess in either case, depending on what your investments are in your 401k, you're always subject to the risk factor that at some point the economy is going to have a downturn.
Yes.
And your investments are going to decline. So
yes.
The question is, do you take advantage of depreciated assets now to get out from under the mortgage before they decline?
Right. And that's another great part of the conversation. So depends on the asset, depends on your taxes, depends on the – well, it's always 100% tax coming out of the 401k. It's never 100% liquidating a stock. But you see, obviously you're having to liquidate that asset that may do very well in the future.
But that's a gamble, too.
One never does know.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your input.
Appreciate the great
You hit a home run.
Nah, there you go. All right, Jim and Cedar, thanks for the buzz, sir.
Just some of the points in paying off the mortgage early. The psychology of you is a huge part of this. Your own risk tolerance. Are you conservative, moderate conservative? Many who want to pay off that mortgage early, many, not all, tend to be more conservative. This may fit you a lot better. Next, what is your health, life expectancy, the current payments that you're making? Take a look at this picture in terms of defense. In essence, this paying off these debts is more playing defense. As always, while you're playing defense, you still have to play offense. You still have to play offense in the long term. That's where you're going to be best served. And that's part of that is your own education, that sort of thing. And or should I be putting some of this into the 401k? Some of the best defense quotes. Here's one.
Defense.
A faithful friend is a strong defense, and he that hath found such an one hath found a treasure. That's from Ecclesiastes. I thought that was interesting. Louisa May Alcott apparently quoted that as well.
She's in the Bible? No, that's not.
She's pretty smart. And we can put that in a suitcase and take it anywhere we want to. The offense may not travel, but defense travels, and that's what we try to do. George Hill from the Indiana Pacers.
Wow.
So the key in finance is playing defense, but also playing offense. Those that do the best tend to push themselves to try to do both. Both. You know, what assets are we buying? What do we hope to accomplish? Is that the 401k? Are we increasing our contributions to our 401k? Are we thinking about that? But defense, do we have life insurance? Do we have a will? I consider those defense positions because that's usually only when the worst happens.
Suppose one, suppose a couple pays off their mortgage right about the time of retirement. So maybe one of the two is still working, and now they have this extra $1,000 dollars a month. They can start can they start jamming that into an IRA or a 401k? But there are limits, right?
There are limits, but it's surprising many times how much more space you may have to do that. If they've got their mortgages paid off, they may want to do some catch-up with the saving, especially if their brackets are higher at this point versus where they may be at retirement, especially if it's 2 to 3 years out. Many times they can make huge headway in getting that lump sum where they might need it to be and then travel easier, if you will, in retirement, given the withdrawals that they need to make from the retirement accounts. Mm. So that can be tremendous because, you know, we're both working, our incomes are higher, our tax brackets, we bounced into the 22% bracket or whatever that bracket is for you. And given that we expect that our income will be lower at retirement, that value for having contributed to the 401k may be greater, especially in the short term,
yeah,
versus what we're going to pay for it having coming out as rather income. Yes. Question.
Dennis Prout in the studio from Prout Financial Design. Jerry on the phone in Gaylord. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I always kind of thought the bottom line was interest rate you're paying on a house versus the interest you can get on your money.
Yeah. And we have not talked about that hardly at all, have we? A great point, Jerry.
Years ago, I'm back in the 70s, my father died and left my mom to pay for the house, and they'd bought it in the, I don't know, early 60s, and the interest rate was like 4%, and mortgage rates at the time were like 13 or 14%, so the accountant or lawyer says one thing she didn't want to do was pay off the house.
A great point. So it depends on the prevailing interest rates at the time.
So
exactly, Jerry.
If the prevailing interest rate is higher than the rate you're paying on your mortgage, what does that mean? That means
if you have money saved aside or, you know, you can put it away, you may want to make a minimum payment on your mortgage. It still comes down to what is that payment for the mortgage itself versus what you're going to need in retirement. But a part of that conversation is the interest rate. Now, we don't have that wide variance today. 4% on a mortgage, if you can get, I don't know any CDs right now that are paying 4. They're just not there.
Yeah.
So that cost for that mortgage, relatively high given prevailing interest rates, and that it's not deductible. Okay.
We refinance charge at like 2.75, but you still can't. I think the bank's paying 0.25 in my savings account or something.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You bet.
Wow.
So it's all relative, isn't it? But having thought about this, and again, thinking about what is that fixed payment at retirement for us, and do we want to try to advance that? I think that's where, you know, you, as you mentioned, look at the interest rate, but also look at the payment itself. Okay?
Okay.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Jerry and Gaylord, for the call there.
The reality of this, I put the quote down here from Brian Tracy, I am responsible, no one else. Think about it in those terms. I'm responsible to think this through. I think that's what can be significantly beneficial. And then I also ran a credit card payment just out of curiosity. If you had a $5,000 credit card balance and the interest is at 18%, which is about where they're at right now, a payment of, let's see, $200 a month, given that you don't add any amounts to it, will get it paid off in about 32 months.
Okay.
If you're paying $250 a month, so increase it by $50, it goes down to 2 years. So from 2.5 years down to 2 years. From if it were $150 a month, it'd take almost 4 years to get it paid off. So those little sums, given that you're snowballing, do not discount those. And the awesome thing about snowballing is I'm saying I'm not going to add to my mortgage payment. I'm going to leave the credit card at home, and we're going to be, you know, instill some discipline in that, in our use of the credit card. And we're going to advance that payment from what we have been paying from $150 to $250. Then when we get done with that credit card, then we next pay off our auto loan. Let's say we have an auto loan. We add that $250, if that's how much we can afford, onto our auto loan. It's amazing how quickly you can pay those off.
Yeah.
Well, what if I don't want to add the full $250? I want a little bit more space. Add $150 to the car loan. It's incredible how quickly you pay that off. And then advance it onto the mortgage itself. That's where you can make huge progress, setting aside, in some cases, the interest rate that are being charged on those individual amounts as well, depending on the balances as well as what the interest rate is on those accounts.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's PROUT financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes.